Blog Talk Radio.
In a world of fake everything, one thing that's hard to find is real Christian people. They're out there, and we just happen to know a few. Sit back, relax, as I, Red Words Lou, interview Christians just like us. Hey, everybody, it's your host, Red Words Lou. It's Wednesday night. Hallelujah. And we got a great testimony tonight from Deborah from Pennsylvania on the Christians Just Like Us show. I hope everybody had a wonderful day. Hopefully you got to listen to what went on this morning with my show, You Know What I'm Saying. Went over a lot of things there, and I don't know. I thought it went pretty well, but God was really moving, talking about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And I don't know. Give it a listen. Go back and check it out. Amen. So what I'm going to do real quick here is, like I always do, I'm going to play a short song, 3 minutes, and we're going to let Deborah come in, and then we'll introduce her, and we'll get on with the show. Amen. So here, listen to, let's see, how about some reggae music? Hosanna. 3 minutes of reggae. That should get us in the mood for a good testimony. Amen. Praise Jesus. All right, here we go.
Shed his blood for me.
go. There we go. Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah. A little reggae for you there. And we do have Deborah. She is on the line. We're going to bring her in. Amen. So just give me a minute. And Deborah from Pennsylvania is coming live. And here she is. How you doing, Deb? You there?
Hey, I'm doing good, Lou. How are you?
I'm fine. Had a great day today. Went and spent some time with my grandkids and then made it back just in the nick of time to do the show. Amen. So, praise God.
Hey, it was a beautiful day here in PA.
Yeah. Now, in Pennsylvania, now, I don't know if you know Armor Up, but he lives down in Pennsylvania and he lives almost near the mountains. Are you in the mountains or... where are you?
I'm northwest over here in Titusville, an hour south of Erie.
Okay. So is that now, when I talked to you earlier, you said you live out in the country. I mean, is it really rural? Or what is it? I mean, is the nearest town like 100 miles away? What is
No, we're about 3 miles out of town.
3 miles. Well, hey, you know.
Though.
Yeah, well, 3 miles out of town. I mean, unless it's a one horse town with the one street light and one gas pump. I don't know what it is, but just trying to get a feel of where you're from.
Well,
praise God.
If you've ever heard of Drake Well and the oil producing time.
Drake,
we used to study that in our history books when we were kids.
Okay.
But I don't know if your state has.
But wasn't there a lot of oil production in Pennsylvania and sort of like New York State and things like that? I remember hearing something about oil production, but
yeah, Titusville, it's famous for the Drake Well. Colonel Drake started the production here in Titusville back in 1800s.
Well, at least there's something to lay claim to fame for the town, right?
that's what made it famous.
That's what made it famous, and you're there now, so the fame has been switched over to you. A child of God, man, praising Jesus, and hey.
Amen.
All right, hey, well, I don't know. Why don't we start off the night here with a prayer? Just ask Christ to, bless this time, and then we'll get on with your testimony. Are you okay with that?
Hey, perfect.
Perfect. All right. Father, we just come before you, Lord, this evening. Me, Deborah, and everyone that's listening, Lord God. God, we pray your blessing be on this time, Lord God, that her testimony, God, would go forth, that it would touch hearts and lives tonight, Lord God. And we just praise you and thank you for a testimony, the testimony we have of you, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There we go. There we go. So fill us in about Deborah. And, you know, I usually like to go back to like being a kid and then sort of working up into the teen years and things of that nature. But I'll leave that to you. You know, you can start off wherever you want. But if there's something that's relevant in your testimony and from younger years, then by all means, share it. And you don't have to share anything that you don't want to. Okay, there may be sensitive issues and so on and so forth. No one needs to know that stuff between you and God. But you tell what you want to tell, and that's all that matters. Amen?
Amen. Well, I always said my life was an open book.
All right. Well, let's start in chapter one, or the, what do they call it?
Forward. Like Bob said, in the beginning.
In the beginning.
In the beginning. All righty then. There's my mom and dad, and there's 8 kids in our family. And we kind of grew up poor, but really not needing for anything.
Okay.
My dad in his younger years used to drive truck and fell off the flatbed and broke his back.
Good.
So he pretty much could never work again.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look back through the years and understand that more now, I now know where all his anger came from. You know, just the pain that he was in all the time.
Yeah.
And, but he was abusive to us kids, too. You know, he would, he always tried to be self-sufficient, tried to do all his own. He had a junkyard, and he had CB sales, and always tried to have some kind of a little business going. But, oh, in the long run, it was like, you know, he would be angry about something and would take it out on his kids and or think that, you know, we did things that we really didn't do. And he kind of exuberated the belt idea a little too much.
A little too much.
A little way too much. Today we would call that child abuse. Back then it was called punishment or whatever you want to call it with kids. Anyway, that kind of started my life not on such a good accord, because through the years with that, it built up a lot of anger and a lot of hate inside of me. But praise the Lord, one good thing that I have a wonderful mother that loves the Lord, and my grandparents grew up beside, or we grew up beside my grandparents. They lived next door to us. So they were my rock. They were my stability. You know, they showed me the side of love that, you know, I never got from my dad, which I think in a roundabout way, he probably did love us, but just never showed it.
Yeah, well, but, tough situation. I don't know the situation, but as a father, I would think, you know, right now I'm considered disabled. I can't work, but when you're young, and especially I think having eight kids, I mean, I felt the pressure with two kids. I don't know about eight kids. And I had probably a little more means than your dad did, but there might be, how could I put it, like a feeling of loss of self-worth, you know, that you're a failure and you get frustrated with yourself. And then because the only people that are around are your kids or your wife, you tend to, you know, deflect all that stuff off of them, and they become the catch basin for all your anger, you know.
It does, yeah. I said, I can see some of that in myself at times. You know, being disabled and hurting and stuff at times. But, you know, thank God I've grown past all that.
Amen.
But anyway, you know, I mean, that carried through, you know, my young days. I mean, we had good times, too. I mean, it wasn't all bad times or anything. We had good times. And I can remember my mom, we'd be out on the porch on Saturday afternoons when my dad would go somewhere, and it'd be like, American Bandstand. Bring out the record players. Mom taught us how to jitterbug and things like that. And kind of grew up with her more like a big sister than mother sometimes, but she had her hand in disciplining us when we needed it.
Yeah. Now, did your dad drink or anything like that?
No. Nope. He never drank a day in his life.
Awesome. Well,
yeah,
that's good. Good for the body.
My grandparents were Christians, and so they didn't have alcohol around the house.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
My dogs. Yeah, that's my dogs. My wife just pulled in, so I have two Welsh corgis, and they like to bark. So,
I locked the cat out of the room because she bugs me at times, so.
Hey, dogs. Yeah, it's not like they can walk up and give you a high five and have a conversation with you. You know, barking is sort of their thing, so you got to tolerate it.
Yeah. Well, my cat likes to use my husband as a chew toy.
Oh, yeah. I've got cats. So anyway, so you're younger now. So You're more, how old do you think we're talking about?
That was grade school age, basically.
Yeah, so whatever, 10-ish.
And so, like,
preteens?
Yeah, you could say that. And I mean, we went to church when we were kids. We went with my grandparents, but to me, it was just a place to go to get away from the house, to, you know, be with other kids. You know, really didn't get into the whole church thing or anything. But
right.
You know, I liked the Bible stories. They were nice. You know, learn a little bit about Jesus, but not enough to fill a thimble with.
Right.
But you know, all about later on, about 14, I'd quit going to church. And it just got so boring, and you know, kids want to have fun.
Yeah.
Teens want to have fun. So, well, I quit going, and oh, we were the type of kids that we really never got into trouble because from a small neighborhood, everybody knew everybody's kids, and if you got out of line, your parents knew about it.
Right.
So really didn't get into the whole party and scene or anything like that. I mean, did a little bit on the weekends when we were allowed to go out, but usually the rule of the house was we were allowed out once during the week till 9 o'clock, and then Saturday night until midnight.
Uh-huh.
Now, how much are we going to get into in 2 days a week?
For me, I could have gotten in a lot of trouble.
Well, I guess I could have. But we've got eyes upon you all the time. You're kind of leery what to do.
Right. I get it. So your teen years were just, you could just say, sort of normal. With your dad, was your dad still alive? I don't even know if he's alive now. So go ahead.
Yeah, he passed in 85.
Okay.
But I do think that he did accept the Lord. I'm hoping so. My sister had prayed with him. And so I'm going to believe that he accepted the Lord.
Yeah, praise
I'm
God,
gonna
man.
I'm going to have another wife. But to get back to more or less the teen years, I'll get into high school now. That was a different story. I was kind of a badass in high school to a certain extent.
Were you?
Rebellious.
Well, please do tell. Tell us what rebellion was, because you never know. Someone might be like that right now.
Yeah. Well, being on welfare because of my dad, and of course, mom couldn't work until all us kids got older. So we were teased and bullied a lot. You know, we were welfare babies, and your dad's no good, and you ain't never going to amount to anything type of thing. And that led to a lot of fights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, kids taunting us and stuff. So we got in a few little brawls. I always came out victorious, you know.
Well, okay, praise God. You probably had those golden gloves, you know. Kids tend to get picked on, tend to learn a little quick, you know, how to defend themselves. And, I mean, I've been through that, you know. I got picked on when I was a kid, you know, and always had fights here or there. But then the tides turned when I got in high school, and then I became what I hated. You know, it was one of those things. But anyhow.
Yeah,
so,
I spent more time in the principal's office than I did class.
Yeah, I know, huh? I mean, I had the same thing with me. I mean, we could have had lunch, we could have had breakfast, we could have had everything. I was always in the principal's office. Yes. But so now, if I get this correct, okay, now you had, there were eight children in your family. Now, where did you fall in between the eight children?
I'm the third in line. My two older sisters are twins.
Okay.
And then there was five girls and three boys all together.
Right. All right. So did any responsibility for your brothers or sisters fall on you, tending to be towards the older person?
Well, not really that much, because when my mom did go to work, it was just like a mile down the road. She could just walk to work. It was over the hill.
Okay.
And, you know, as kids, we were just, you know, kind of free spirits, go outside, play, run around, you know, come in for meals, run back outside and play some more. You know, so we kind of, you know, we looked after each other.
Yeah.
Not really so much a babysitting thing, but just, you know, where's this one, where's that one? But, you know, it was a small community, so, you know.
Yeah.
I was out of anybody's eyesight, really.
Wondering with your dad and the situation where he was and where there was anger and things of that nature, did it leave you guys to sort of police yourself? Did it leave you more in a state of fear, or mom was always there, and so you had that sense of security with mom around, or was mom also getting it from dad too, you know?
Well, he never abused my mother, never touched her, thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I learned to live in fear. You know, it was like, he would rather, it's one of those be not seen and be not heard type things, you know.
Right.
So
yeah.
I said, we didn't hang around the house or anything. We'd go out and play in the woods and in the strip mines that were there and, you know, came in for meals and for bed, and that was about it. And then, like my dad, he had a junkyard, and he did a lot of welding. Very smart man, very intelligent man, though.
Yeah.
But he, if he actually caught one of us, it's like, come in here, I need your help. And we're like, oh, Lord, no, please, please.
There's a belt waiting for you.
Well, it was like fear. It's like, you go in, he'd ask you to hold something for him while he was welding it. And, you know, of course, you're afraid and you're shaking and he's yelling at you. And it's like, oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah. I can see that.
We just kind of like didn't want to be around him at all.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, you're just so afraid.
I mean, my mom felt bad because she knew there wasn't anything she could do, you know, and she loved us, and, you know, she's a great mom. I said she'll be 86 in a couple weeks.
And she's still around. Great.
Oh, my goodness, she gets around. She's still working if her boss would let her work another year.
Yeah, well, if she likes it, why not? No.
Yeah, she's getting her aches and pains and different things going on now, too, with her. So,
yeah.
She deserves to kick back now and not have to do anything.
No, she's 86. Yeah. Praise God, man. Time to just relax, you know, and take it all in. Now, your mom's saved, right? You said she's a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, she is.
Awesome. That's awesome. So now you're in your teen years, and you went to high school. Did you finish school? Did you graduate high school?
I graduated. Barely, but I graduated. I think they more pushed me through than everything.
Yeah, sometimes they do that.
How you graduate on NAFSA, I'll never know, but I think they just wanted rid of me.
Yeah, so you graduated, and then... Where was the departure from home? You know,
I'm sorry, what's that?
When you left home, like, when was that? Was that as soon as you could leave home, as soon as you had the opportunity? Was it because you met somebody and you got married?
Well, it was a year after I graduated in 73, in 74. Well, I dated this one guy my senior year, and we got married the following year after I graduated. And it was, I think I was more in love with the word marriage than I was with him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, it's like, all I ever wanted to be was a housewife, a mother, you know. Well, I got to be the housewife, but the mother thing never landed, but that's all right, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we had an okay marriage and everything until we moved to Texas. And we were down there for a couple of years. And, well, let's put it this way. All my exes lived in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
You know that,
lived
that
in Texas.
Song?
She's got a song. Everyone, she's got a song.
I got a song. I can claim a song.
There you go. So,
well, we moved to Texas after we got married.
Yeah.
We moved down there in well, about 1980.
Okay.
And it's something different. I had two sisters that lived down there, and so we decided to, you know, something different, something new. So we went down there, and things kind of started falling apart for us. I kind of started getting into drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Just something about a hot day and a cold beer just kind of all of a sudden hit the spot. And
yeah.
I was never much of a drinker before I moved to Texas.
Okay.
But my first husband, he never really drank that much or anything. But it just got to the point where we just started kind of drifting apart. You know, he really didn't abuse me, but it was more of a mental abuse. You know, just in things that he would say and things he would do and wouldn't let me do. And, yeah, I mean, we're still friends even to this day. We're still friends. But, you know, we divorced and went our separate ways.
Yeah.
And then I met this other guy. Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, let's put it this way. Before I met this other guy, let's backtrack a little bit there. Okay, after my husband and I divorced, I started going to the clubs, drinking more and more, working. It's like I would work it off at 11 o'clock at night, hit the clubs till about 2, 3 in the morning, go out and get something to eat, my girlfriends, and turn around, come home, get a shower, and head straight back to work again almost.
Yeah.
But I found myself, I mean, I did a lot of drinking when I lived down there, and it led me to areas that I really never would have gotten into before.
Right, just
like,
the drinking, right?
Yeah, because of the drinking. Now, I was going to church off and on, but, you know, I just really wasn't steady in a church or anything yet. You know, it's like, well, let's backtrack a little bit more. When I was 17, I dated this one guy, and he took me to Assembly of God Church, and kind of scared me at first. Yeah, I wasn't used to all the hand lifting, the tongues, and all that and everything.
Yeah.
But then after a while, you know, I started to understand a little bit. Well, I did accept the Lord, but I really didn't give myself to Him.
Right.
You know, like I have now.
Right.
But it's like, I always knew that Jesus had a hold of me. You know, He never left my side. You know, even though I just ran away from Him so many times. But, you know, He was always there, being patient, waiting for me to come back.
Right.
But now we'll fast forward to the drinking era.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, like I said, you know, my girlfriend, me, we hit the bars, maybe about 4 or 5 times a week. And if I didn't have the money, or had a little bit of money, and, you know, these guys would come over, and of course they buy me drinks, and it kind of got to the point where it wasn't only just buying drinks, but I was taking them home with me.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a good thing after a while, because my wake-up call there is I got date raped one night.
Okay.
That woke me up.
Yeah.
So that kind of changed my life right there, and I thought, okay, you know, this is not the style that I'm supposed to be living, and I know this. So I met this one guy, and you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Somebody just texted me. I just want to make sure I didn't get lost here.
Oh.
So I was working down in Texas at the airport there, and I met this guy, and we dated for a while, and he was a Christian, or at least he told me he was.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, well, you know, this is good. You know, I need to get out of this lifestyle I was into.
Right.
And so I started dating him for, a few weeks. And, you know, since we worked together every day, we were around each other every day and kind of got to know each other. And, after 3 months, we moved in with him and we got married.
Okay.
And it was kind of like I married Satan himself that day.
Oh, jeez.
Before we got married, I thought, oh, this is just the sweetest guy. You know, he dotes on me. He treats me really good. You know, but it's like after we said our do's, it was like, oh, you might as well say hell broke out.
Yeah, it was like a light switch flipped, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
You know, here find out, I didn't know that he was an alcoholic and a drug user.
Okay.
He had hid all that on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through 2 years of some pretty severe, trying to think of the word, their abuse with him.
Abuse.
And, you know, I was not allowed to have any friends. I had to give my car up. The only thing that closed my car was a tiny belt went out of it, but he made me get rid of that. And wasn't allowed to call my friends, wasn't allowed to have any friends. He took me to work, brought me home from work. When he was at work and I was at home, it was like constantly calling me, make sure I was at home and I wasn't doing anything else. And it was physical also. I said he tried a few different times to try to kill me. And I knew Jesus was with me because, you know, the things that the way he did it and the way I counteracted it is one night we were sitting at the table and he needed a blue chip. He was going to see the manager for a hotel management. And he needed the blueprint done of a working scale restaurant.
Yeah.
Well, I did have a little bit of mechanical drawing in high school, so I set out and I did in this big scale restaurant, you know, with all the plumbing and electrical and all the whole nine yards. He got an A on it. I say I got an A on it. First A I ever got in my life. But he come home that night, and he was all goofed up with drinking and doing coke and whatever they were doing. And so we got into a huge fight, and I said, that's it. I said, Jesus, I need you. I need some intervention here. So I just looked him in the eyes. I mean, to look at his face, it was just like looking at Satan. I mean, his facial expressions would change when he was like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he was just all goomed up and everything. I just looked at him. I said, pointed my finger at him. I started yelling. I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you get out of my husband. You get out of my life. You get out of my house. And so on, so on, and so on. And he just, like, that expression out of his face, he calmed down like he was a normal person and went over and sat down. And I think I shocked him.
Yeah, I mean, you confronted the demon is what you did, you know. And in the name of Jesus, it backed down, you know. So, praise God.
And I thought, praise God for that. Cause now, at that time, I was starting to go to church again.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question before we go on. Now, you mentioned that when you were out partying and everything like that, you saw that you went to church here and there, and then now you're starting to go to church. Was going to church just something? Did you do it, whether it was a good time or a bad time, or were you just going on and off when things seemed to get a little hot and hairy? And were you, you know, seeking Christ for some relief from what was going on? Can you just fill me in a little bit on that?
Well, like I said, before I moved to Texas, I went to church off and on. You know, I never really made a big, huge commitment, but, you know, I was starting to learn little things here and there. So I thought, well, when I got to Texas, I found this nice little church down the road that I really liked. It was just a new church, and so I was getting affiliated with it and learning and stuff and everything, and trying to get my life back on board again, basically, what I was doing. And, you know, starting to take a little authority over the house and things like that. But Places weren't changing for us. You know, the abuse just kept going, and I knew if I didn't get out of there, he was going to kill me. That's all there was to it. He did try a few different times, and I had to get out. Yeah. You know, I tried my best to get him to go to church. He'd go to church with me once in a while, but, you know, nothing was changing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you knew it was time to hightail it out of there, so that was husband number two now. So,
yep.
Yeah, and that ended up in divorce, I take it.
Yes, it did, but I got a good praise report here, what happened.
Okay.
With that, though. This is why God wanted me in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, him and I went to the bank that day, and he put $300 in the checking account. Now, this is something he wouldn't normally have done, but he put the account in both our names. All right? So both of our names are on the account, $300 in the account. They got home, got in a huge fight. I told him, I said, I'm not going to go to work. I'm too upset. I said, you know, so he went on to work, and I stayed home. As soon as he left, I called the airlines. Well, I prayed first. Then I called the airlines, seeing how much a ticket was back to Pennsylvania. Guess what the price was?
$300.
$300. Now, come on. I knew that was God.
I'm thinking so, man. I'm thinking so. That is... Praise Jesus.
All
man.
Right. We're gonna do this. So I called my sister up, and she took me down to the airport, and I got my ticket and stuff and went home. And, of course, you can only pack up so much to take on a plane. So a lot of things I had to leave behind that kind of hurt, because a lot of things were my grandmother's things and stuff. But, you know, my life was more important than the material things. So
small sacrifice for your life.
It is, really, you know. I mean, it hurt, but, you know, you got to sacrifice something along the way.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I had my stuff all packed up when I could get in a suitcase, and my sister took me down to the airport, and I flew back to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So, moved in with my mom, lived with her for, like, about 10 years. You know, just trying to get my life together and stuff. You know, things were going through my head. You know, it's like I really didn't want to talk to my mom about any of this stuff. And I really didn't have any friends to talk to or anything. You know, so I suppressed everything inside of me. I'm a big suppressor sometimes. And I'm learning not to do that, but I'm a suppressor. Oh, my name's Deborah. I'm a suppressor. Okay. Anyway, so I did start going to this one church, and, you know, just all these emotions inside of me. It was like a constant tug of war of, like, love and hate, you know, like one rope's pulling one way and one's pulling the other way. And it's just like, you know, my mind's just so messed up from all this abuse and crap and everything. And I was going to this one church, but I was becoming suicidal.
Okay.
Like, you know, Lord, I just can't deal with this anymore. You know, where we lived at, all our driving was mostly on the interstate to get to the next town or whatever.
Okay.
You know, so I'd drive down the road, and I'd look at these ravines and stuff thinking, you know, all I have to do is just turn the wheel once, and nobody would ever even find me. But, you know, every time I tried to do that, that wheel would turn right back again. So I'm like, okay, I need help.
Yeah.
So I went to my pastor, the church I was going to, and set up a meeting to talk to him. But he's like, oh, you know, you're a strong woman. You can handle this. Patted me on the back and set me out the door. And I'm like, oh. Hey,
I don't want to deal with it. He didn't want to deal with it. That's what I'm getting from that.
He didn't want to deal with it.
Wow.
No, I'm like, no, wait a minute. You're supposed to be a pastor. You're supposed to help counsel me. But you're sending me out the door to commit suicide? Hello.
Yeah.
That's all those hello moments.
Yeah. So what did you do? Did you stay in the church? Or?
Well, I kept going and, you know, praying and pouring myself out at the altar and prostrating on the floor. And, I mean, it's just like I was trying everything and nothing was working.
Right.
So finally I told God, I said, look, I said, something's got to change here. I said, I can't deal with this. You know, the hurt, the pain, it's too great for me to bear. I can't bear it anymore. I said, Lord, you got to do something. Oh, guess what? Another praise report. I was reading the paper, and I saw this ad for this Christian concert up in the mountain. And I thought, well, I'm going to go. I said, it's kind of a little far to drive, but I said, I'm going to go because, you know, the music and stuff always relax me, and I get in the spirit and feel close to God and stuff.
Yeah.
So I ended up going to this concert. And so while I was there, you know, the music was great. I was enjoying all that and everything. But once the music was done, I thought, okay, that's it. I'm going to turn around. Once I turn around, get back to my car. Because I thought, you know, I don't want to hear what this pastor has to say. You know, I'm tired of these preachers. You know, I've had it up to here with me because nobody would help me. So I turned around and went to my car, and this pastor got up and he started speaking. And he said the first thing that came out of his mouth was, you are the head and not the tail. And I'm telling you, that was like a strike of lightning, a bolt of lightning just hit me. And it's like, what? You know, I'd never heard this before. So I thought, well, I'm going to turn around and see what this preacher's talking about. You know, I'd never heard anything like this before. So he starts teaching on Deuteronomy 28.
Yep, Deuteronomy 28.
And I'm listening to the whole thing, and it's like, it's just like, you know, my whole world just opened up. And I said, Lord, I said, I've never heard preaching like this before. It's really hitting my heart. You know, you've set a hunger in me now. You know, I need to know more.
Yeah.
And so the whole weekend, you know, I just sat there and, you know, listened to this man preach. And, I mean, I couldn't even call it preaching. He was teaching. He was teaching my heart.
Amen. Amen. So that was a weekend concert that you went to? And, you know, was it like a Woodstock type thing? Or?
It was a lot of Christian singers, some from their church, and other ones they brought in and stuff. And, you know, it was like out, I'd say out in the hills. You know, they had
like a revival?
Kind of, not really a revival, just kind of like a Christian concert.
Okay,
basically.
That's cool.
You know, it's like, it was out in the field and all that and everything, but this church had sponsored it.
Okay.
But it was like, Saturday, I went down early Saturday morning because I just kind of wanted to pray and read my Bible and stuff before everything got started. So I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying, and all of a sudden God gave me my notes here. He gave me 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, just a short tell, I would like everybody to read it, verse 1 through, I'm going to say 1 through 14, because that's what hit me. But here you had Naaman,
yep.
Saying that right. You know, he was, you know, a mighty part of the king's army and all that, but he was a leper.
Right.
And to make the story short, because some people do know the story, he thought Elijah would come to him and lay hands on him and heal him.
Right.
Well, instead, Elijah sends him this letter and says, you know, go dunk yourself in the Jordan River 7 times and be healed. Well, he was angry. It's like he thought that God would just, or this Elijah would come and heal him.
Mm-hmm.
And here, what God was showing me there was my first step of relying on him and not man to heal my knee.
Okay, I gotcha.
Take care of me. You know, if you've ever read Naaman, I mean, that's, to me, it's powerful, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it says there, like in verse 11, it says, but Naaman was wroth and went
mm-hmm.
away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Well, see,
mm-hmm.
that's what I was doing. I was going from church to church, preacher to preacher, you know,
mm-hmm.
putting my trust in them, basically putting my trust in man. And after God showed me that, it's like, you know, Lord, you're right. I've never really
yeah.
given you a chance. You know, I've been seeking men's, you know, ways, and I'm not seeking your way.
Right.
So that night after the preaching was done, there was more singing that afternoon, and it's just like the Holy Spirit just grabbed a hold of me so strong.
Yeah.
And I said, I call it my on the road to Damascus miracle. You know, it's like the Holy Spirit was so strong. You know, I mean, I just went down like a ton of bricks.
Amen.
You know, and I just laid there and I just poured my heart out and just cried. And I mean, all I know is when I got back up, it was dark, nighttime out. But anyway, well, I was laying there and I was praying. And then it's like, you know, I was done. I was emptied. You know, I poured it all out, and it was like these black waves, you know, like when a storm rolls in and you get these black great clouds
yep.
that roll in.
Yep.
Well, that's what I was seeing, was these black clouds just rolling over me and just engulfing me. And then all of a sudden, it's just like the brightest, warmest light that I've ever felt or ever seen. And I don't know if it was God that spoke to me. I'm assuming it was an angel from God that spoke to me. But it's like, I can't even remember the words right now that it spoke, but it was like, you know, boy, I can't even think of the words anymore. I should have wrote that down. I just kept saying, you know,
Lord, I want
to be with you. You know, take me now. I want to be with you. This is just so beautiful. Please don't send me back to where I was. You know, and then, I know what the angel spoke then, or God, or whoever it was that spoke to me. Somebody spoke verbally. He said, no, your time's not ready to come to me yet. I have much for you to do before that time comes. And I just lay there. I know it was daylight when I went down, and it was nighttime when I got back up. And that was like, I will never forget that experience as long as I live.
Yeah.
You know, I said, God, I mean, he just took my heart, my soul, and just, you know, just transformed everything, you know, just renewed everything that was in me. It's just like all the old junk was gone, you know. It was like a brand new me, you know. And
just like that, just in an instant.
It is. It was. It was like in an instant, you know. I said,
amen.
You know, because I finally surrendered. All these years, I never surrendered, and I finally surrendered that day, and that was back in 1997. I did that.
Okay.
So started going to that church, really getting into the Word. You know, just, you know, I had such a hunger. You know, I couldn't get enough of it. You know, I would stay up there all day on Sunday because they have evening services, and it was like an hour drive for me to get up there. So I'd just stay up there all day and, you know, just listen to music, read my Bible, and whatever. Well, Satan, he decided he was going to try to attack. I'm sitting there, and I'm out in the grass and just kind of, you know, reading my Bible and whatever. And, well, the whole church had, like, a fence around it because there was cattle on the other side.
Yeah.
But Satan's like, look at this place. Look around you. What do you see? There's a fence the whole way around this building. don't you remember the Jim Jones and the things that happened there? And I mean, they just, was just outraged, you know. And I just looked him in the face and I said, no more, Satan. You can't have me touch them no more.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, you had all that happen.
I had all that happen, transformation, and we met this guy at church.
Okay.
And we just kind of, you know, we sat and we talked a lot. And he had gotten out of the prison. Well, he was in jail for a while. So we got to talking and stuff. It wasn't anything that he did that he should have even deserved to have been in there. But, you know, I praise God, too, for him because, you know, God set him in jail to get his attention. And, you know, he come out being a Christian and everything and joined the church and, you know, so forth and so forth. So anyway, we kind of sat there and we looked at each other every so often and contemplated. And I'm like, you know, I'm not looking for a third marriage. You know, I had it with marriage.
Yeah.
So we sit and after church, we go out and get a bite to eat, and we sit and we talk all day and everything, and, you know, just really, really deeply got to know each other. Well, after 3 months, we decided, well, let's pray about this, because he asked me to marry him, and I said, well, let's pray about this, make sure it's from God. So
Amen.
We both prayed, you know, and we both knew that, you know, God put us together for a reason and purpose. And we've been married 21 years now. And
hallelujah,
I just
man.
Praise God. You know, I just praise God because, you know, he's my gift from God.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. Once you fully surrendered to God, God gave you what you needed.
I never knew happiness before. I mean, that was like I was in my 40s back then. And it was like, I never knew happiness. I never knew peace of mind, you know, and it was just like, you know, my wow.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, you know, I said, God has brought him and I so far, you know, from me when we were first married. I mean, we had nothing, you know, people would give us furniture and he had lost his job the day after we got married. And, you know, but I said, we never wanted for anything. You know,
right.
I said, even for a time, we had to live at the church because we had no place to live. But I said, we never wanted for anything.
Yeah,
you know,
God provided.
I mean, God's just been blessing us. We both worked in the prison ministries. You know, it's blessed going in there and teaching inmates, you know, for a time and a season, you know. And, you know, just, you know, now with ChristianForums.net,
You know,
I praise God for them because that gives me a platform to teach and to learn from others. And, you know, shout out to everybody at CF. You know,
yeah.
That's my second home.
But people don't know.
I'm going to bed.
Now, with the prison ministry, and you've told me this, that you were a licensed evangelist, right?
I was for a time. That was to be able to get into the prison.
Jails,
I didn't have to have that. But to get into the prison, you had to be an evangelist or preacher or whatever.
Okay.
So I took the classes and got licensed for that. And that was through the church that we were going to at that time.
Yeah.
And I never renewed the license. That church ended up folding up, unfortunately. Long story short, it folded up.
Yeah.
And then we went.
Did your husband go? Did your husband do the prison ministry? Okay.
He was willing to give his testimony. And, of course, a lot of the inmates knew him from being in there, so that was pretty cool, too.
See how
he turned his life around. No, and I said, you know, God blessed us and worked through us to save a lot of souls in there. You know,
I know
a lot get saved, you know, some come just to get out of their cell, but, you know, you could tell the ones that were genuinely, you know, in there
you
for
can.
It.
Yeah. I had a prison ministry for 3 years. So I know what you're talking about. you know, the people that just want to get out of their cell and the people that are really there, you can tell. You can tell. God shows you.
Well, that's the way my husband was. I mean, he just came out just to get out of his cell for a while, and then finally he found the Lord, you know, and everything worked out good for him. God's been blessing us, and hey, I just give him all the praise and glory.
What about your ministries with overseas things? What did you do, like India and Africa? You had some ministries?
Africa, I was working with a guy over there via the internet, you know, helping them get a ministry set up at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what happened to him. I never heard from him. After a couple of years, he just kind of disappeared, so I don't know what happened to that end of it.
Yeah.
And so I do kind of partner with one over in India.
Okay.
Miracle Restoration Center. If you guys want to keep them in prayer. They run a lot of orphanages, and they're establishing churches, and their big project is their water systems, putting water systems into places where they don't have any water. And they face a lot of persecution. I mean, they've had, you know, some get killed and churches burnt down. And, you know, these are things they face every day over there. But, you know, they're strong, they're mighty in the Lord. And, you know, like God said, you know, just remember they hated me first, so they persecute you. You know, and then there was one scripture that said, God said, don't worry about, you know, I used to know this off heart. Don't worry about them showing the flesh, but fear him that can destroy both flesh and soul, you know, or something like that. I couldn't know what it was. But anyway, you know, like I said, you know, that's what you got to learn to do. You got to completely surrender all. When it says all, it means all.
Right.
You know? You know, I know we're getting probably towards the end of our time here, and I'd like to give a phone number out if it's okay.
Yeah, sure, whatever you want. Go ahead. I'll write it down so I can put it on the info thing.
Okay, that'd be great. You know, for anybody out there that's really going through things and contemplating suicide, you know, there's a God that loves you, a God that needs you as much as you need him. And the number is a suicide hotline. It's 1-800-SUICIDE or 1-800-784-2433. You know, call that number. I've never used it, but, you know, I found that number one day and I thought, you know, this needs to be shared. This needs to go out. People need healing. You know, there's so many that are hurting out there, and they don't have anybody to turn to, nobody to love them, you know, and this is my heart.
Amen.
You know, this is my heart helping anybody that needs help. You know, I said,
amen.
My husband and me, we used to house, when prisoners got out, we used to house them in our own house and, you know, help them get their start back in life. And, you know, these are my heart's desires, you know. God says, you know, it's greatest commandment to love. You know, and if we can't love, then we have nothing. We're none of his. You know, and that love extends to anything and everybody, no matter what their religion is, no matter what their thoughts are, you know, we got to love.
Yes.
You know, love brings in everything in a person. If they can feel just even an ounce of love, that's going to get them started on the road to change their lives.
Yeah. People are just, they crave the love, that affection that the world just cannot give them, but they can get with Christ. And for us as Christians, just to show a little bit of kindness, compassion, a little bit of that love can go a long way.
Oh, my gosh. You know? I said, even a symbolful. You know, you pour out a symbol full and just let it flow and it's going to run.
Right.
You know, and you know, like I said, you know, people, you are the head and not the tail. You know, God's got blessings for us all. You know, all we have to do is just surrender. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. Help me. Show me the way. You know, mm-hmm. God's going to show it to you. Don't rely on man. Don't rely on, you know, your neighbors, your friends, or whatever. Rely on God. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to open this up for you, people. He's going to show you a world that you never knew before. And I just praise God. Praise God what he's done for me.
Amen. I'm thankful for what he's done in you. I mean, to go from where you were as a kid to, you know, stepping through, doing your partying, going through a couple of marriages, and then coming out of it. And then, like you said, you know, when Naaman obeyed and he went and dipped seven times, that's when the healing came, with the obedience. And
yeah,
with when you became obedient and you just poured out everything to Christ, that's where it all happened, man. That's where your visitation was, right there, that moment.
Oh, definitely.
And
yes,
what a monument.
Was,
you know, that's a monument in your life.
Oh, it is. You know, I said, you know, even though, Lou, even though I went through all that bad stuff in my life, I wouldn't exchange that for anything, because that's who I am today. That made me who I am today. You know, taking
exactly.
me through all these emotions, all these hurts and pains and everything, it's like now I can relate to others that are going through this. You know, my thing, I want to give hope to others, you know, because you don't have to go through this alone.
No,
you know,
you don't.
Yeah, you know, there's a whole family that just wants to love you and help you and do whatever we can for each other.
Yep. And in the advent of having the internet and everything that we have with us, even if just you have a phone and you can access the internet, even if you don't know anybody, there's people out there. And that's one of the good things about ChristianForums.net is that you have, I call it a think tank, but you have a group of people, man.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there you can ask anything, you can read, and you'll find answers to your questions even before you have to ask for it. But there are people there that are kind, compassionate. You know?
Yeah, I said the way Jeff handles all this, you know, it's you're like a family. You feel welcome. You know, there is no bashing or no, you know, getting into fights. You're right, I'm wrong, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, he really takes care of this form. And God bless his heart for the work that he puts into that and everybody else that goes in there and you know, the moderators and, you know, the members, the people that come in that aren't members yet that become members. I mean, it's a blessing. ChristianForums.net is a blessing.
Yeah, we'll
and
both give it a thumbs up.
That's right. I'm going to give 10 fingers up. How about 20? We'll do the toes, too.
we'll do the toes. There we go, you know.
If you can't get blessed in there, you ain't never going to get blessed.
Right. Well, we're going to wrap up the show. I wish we had more time, but that's okay. That's okay.
That's good.
You know.
Well, they always say, give an hour. After an hour, people lose attention. That's what we learned in teacher training anyway.
Well, it's all good, man. You got your testimony out. We sort of rolled through your life from being a kid to, you know, coming into adulthood, and then had your experience where God changed your life, and now you're where you're at, you know. And what a wonderful thing to be married to a man of God, and feeling that love from God and the blessing that's just about your life. It's not about the things you have, you know, the wells and things of that nature. Yeah, it's about the simple things. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, hey, is there any way that anyone can get a hold of you if they want to? Do you have an email address?
I put it in the okay, if they go to christianforums.net,
okay,
they can look for me. My username is For His Glory. And I also put my email address in there, but I will give it. You know, anybody
okay
that wants to email me and talk, it's heavenbound72000
okay
at yahoo.com.
Okay, we'll get that up on the information part, because I don't like putting it there until I get the okay. So we got the okay. All right.
But
so
they can reach me there, or they can reach me in the forums.
Okay. Sounds
so
great.
So, Lou, it's been great. You're a blessing. You're a blessing to all of us. You know, thank God that, you know, you're putting a show on and getting all these wonderful testimonies out there, and
yeah,
you are a blessing.
Yeah, well, everybody has a testimony. Everybody has a testimony, good or bad, man.
Yeah.
We all have a testimony, and to get people on that can give a testimony of how Christ has changed their life is it's precious. It really is. I mean, I treat it like a gem. You know, that to me is so much more valuable than anything else in life, because if somebody didn't have a testimony and tell me about Christ, where would I be? Nowhere. People's
right
testimonies,
yeah,
you know, people's testimonies are so precious. So, amen. Everyone that's been on the show, and I'm going to be stopping the show as far as right now until we get all switched over to WTVC radio and everything. So you're the last one.
Oh, that's nice. I'm honored to be your last guest. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a milestone for me.
You closed it out. You closed out.
I closed it out. Praise the Lord.
praise God. But I am thankful. I'm thankful that you took the time and you came on, you know, and thank your husband for allowing you the time, you know, to come on. I really appreciate everything you've done tonight, and hopefully, praise God, man, that it blessed somebody's life out there, and we'll know in heaven, right?
That's right.
All right, sis. Hey,
okay,
you take care, and I'll be talking to you on christianforums.net, and again, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
All right, Lou. God bless your heart and your wife and your family.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, right, bye-bye.
Bye. All right. There we go. That was Deborah from Pennsylvania with an awesome testimony. And, you know, she wanted to give out the 1-800-SUICIDE number. And that isn't as a joke. It's serious. Suicide is prevalent in our society today. People are down. People are depressed. This world has got everybody under its thumb. But hallelujah, if you're listening, Christ Jesus, man, can reach down and pull you up. And it sounds corny, but cradle you like a baby. Amen. He's there for you. Reach out. Give him a chance, man. Suicide is not the way to go. It isn't the way to go. But 1-800-784-2433. I'll throw that in the episode information section. Also, I will put her email address down, which is heavenbound72000@yahoo.com. And you can look her up on the forum there. And hey, it's all good. I'll have everything right there in the information section. So check out the links that we have on there. TBC Radio, Reigning Redemption, ChristianForums.net. And if you want to, you can go to my website, Islu Creations. That's in the making there. All right, so that's the end of the show. Thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll continue on a chronological tour through the Bible, and we'll have a sermon. I think I'm just going to stick with Smith Wigglesworth for that. So we'll have a sermon from Smith Wigglesworth, and we'll get into going over some of the world's religions like we did with Burning Man today. So until tomorrow, thank you for tuning in to Christians Like Us, and I'll see you in the morning. You know what I'm saying? See you later. God bless.